Southern California.
What's going on, everybody? This is an EG3 show special edition here on JPEG Sports Network, KCSportsRadio.com. EG3 on top of the pit box with yours truly, Eddie Greer, the host of the EG3 show, which is on every day at noon Central Time, 1 o'clock East Coast time, and calculate the math if you're on the West Coast somewhere listening in. And just want to share a few moments real quick here on what took place last weekend. The Brickyard 400, my three biggest takes from that race, which was something else. This was the most wildest Brickyard 400 in quite some time. The Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400, which saw an upset winner. Who will be saying that? Related to Casey Kane, outside of top 16, pulls it off in double overtime after botching the first restart in the first overtime, rallied back against Brad Keselowski, and somehow, some way, willed his way, dehydrating and everything else, gets it done. And behold, he has a spot, guaranteed spot in the playoffs. Let's just start there. With number three, Casey Kane. How did he end up right there in a spot where he could basically have the opportunity to get it done? Well, first of all, late in the race, Kane, he pitted ahead of some of the other leaders who tried to stay out with the late race caution and everything else. Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson of note were also ones that stayed out as well. Casey Kane pitted a lap or two ahead of those guys. That's really put him in a situation. And when the wreck happened with Clint Bowyer, Eric Jones, Kurt Busch, that hard-hitting wreck on the front stretch, that set the table for Casey Kane to deliver in one of his biggest moments of his career, if yet not a game-changer, a career-saving win for Casey Kane in the number 5 car for Hendrick Motorsports. Kane, up until this point, has not won a race in some 102 starts. This is unbelievable. Casey Kane was heralded probably to compete with Jimmy Johnson for championships. But ever since then, ever since he came onto the scene, he made a chase a couple years. But ever since then, he's made crew chief. And then, of course, Keith Rodden has been on board now for quite some time. This was, I didn't know this, this was Keith Rodden's first win as a crew chief in his career. Unbelievable stat line right there of the weekend right there. But Kane on the first restart in overtime, track was getting dark. Obviously, he had a little issue getting up to speed, in which Brad Keselowski had him on turn one. Well, actually, it wasn't on even in a turn one. It was on a straightaway coming to the green. After the green flag, a few seconds later, the field gets botched up behind them. Trevor Bayne, who was involved, a couple more other cars, Austin Dillon, a red flag. There were a course of three red flags in this race. Unbelievable. All the wrecks. This was one of the most entertaining races by far up to date this season, with a lot of twists and turns. And I'm going to get to the number one biggest turn, obviously, if you guys have been following the news lately and watched the race. But number two, go with Trevor Bayne. Trevor Bayne, leading up to Casey Kane's big one, he was in position to get the win. This was all about strategy. These number three, number two, all about strategy. Matt Puscha putting Trevor Bayne in tremendous position to score the big win. Obviously, he won Daytona 500 a few years back with Wood Brothers Racing, and that look for sure looked like to be the strategy that took him to the playoffs. Already Ricky Stenhouse Jr. already in the playoffs with his two wins at Talladega and Daytona. But Trevor Bayne hasn't won in quite some time either. He's had some competitive cards this year, but the strategy was all for naught thanks to the same wreck. The same wreck that happened. I'm pretty sure it was the same wreck which Clint Boyer was on that really thwarted the strategy plan there of, yes, I believe so, the 14-77-41 all game taking up in the front stretch, which caused, I believe, another red flag, if I'm not mistaken. But yes, Trevor Bayne, he was sitting gold because Matt Kenseth, that was the race for the win. Coming down to the waiting laps of this race at the Brickyard 400, what happens? Caution comes out, throws all the strategy away, and then another outside driver outside of the playoffs goes on and wins the race. But what a bummer for him to win the race. And then he gets bottled up in the overtime wreck that was red flag for almost a half an hour of this event. So Trevor Bayne, again, going into this weekend at Pocono, will look to again try to make a strategy happen. And that's what we're seeing now with six races left. Drivers outside the top 10, or excuse me, the top 16 in the playoffs right now, they are gambling, and we have some big time players in outside of the top 16 due to Casey Kane's upset in the Brickyard 400. More on the EG3 Show podcast coming up this week. You might want to tune in for that. And my number one take from this, obviously, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. getting together, which pretty much opened the floodgates for everybody to go crazy in the Brickyard 400. Unbelievable. This, and I'll explain more in a podcast. You might, again, folks, I'm telling you, you stay tuned for the podcast this week. This is going to be one of the more, if not one of the best podcasts of the season to date. I just don't understand team orders. Obviously, Kyle Busch, for the third year in a row, had the dominant car in this event, but it was all for naught due to communication issues. For whatever reason, with 55 laps to go, it's time to go for the win. There was still plenty of time in this race to get back up front. Obviously, Kyle Busch, Adam Stevens panicked, and it was all chaotic from there. Cole Pern, they were all confused. Martin Truex, it was definitely frustrating. Glad on the other side to see Martin get out of that car. He was on fire. hit the wall hard. A lot of hard hits in this event. Kyle Larson, Clinton Boyer, Kurt Busch, Stenhouse, a lot of hard hits in this race. You would think that you were at a short track or a straight plate race, seeing all these hard hits. But this is should not happen at all. Kyle Busch still had plenty of time to get to the front. Obviously, they panicked, and Adam Stevens made the call. Everybody heard this. Everybody on the radio, who's on the radio, the fans, drivers, spots, everybody heard this. Made the call. Let's take the guard down now. Screw the 78, and let's just go for the win. And this is what happens. Now, granted, that if Martin was on the high side, if he took the high side where I thought he was going to go, then we could have still saw the same thing with it. Flipped 180, Kyle Busch could have took Martin out, but it was Martin taking the low side, Kyle Busch going all in, and what happens? That happens, yes. Kyle Busch, Martin takes Kyle out, both of them hit the wall hard, and Kyle Busch ends his chances at a three-peat thanks to impatient once again, and this is why Kyle Busch Bartley doesn't have no wins fully in a year because of the fact that he tries to force things and then mistakes on pit road, whether it's making the wrong call, being panicking, that he lost the lead, crying over it, or whatever it is. It's just mind-boggling that, yes, if we come into six to go in the regular season, that Kyle Busch has no wins. You would have laughed at me if I would have said that, or I would have been laughing at that, which I kind of am, because the fact that Kyle Busch lost his crew chief already and making the wrong pit calls, Ben Bayshore making the wrong calls, staying out at Pocono, staying out at Michigan, trying to gamble, and it just hasn't worked. And then obviously he's had chances to win races this year, obviously going back to Phoenix, goes back to Martinsville, even Michigan, Pocono as well. The last time the series was there, Cup Series, going back to Pocono this weekend. Last time we were at Pocono, he had an opportunity to win that, and Ben Bayshore made the wrong call, cost Kyle Busch. Ryan Blaney took care of that. So there's a lot of issues with this team, and all this fiasco that's been unfolding daily with the 78-18, this is just blowing up in Joe Gibbs Racing's face, to be quite honestly. This is, and I said it on my Twitter page, that this, well, I'm going to say it tonight, but I said this, that Kyle Busch is definitely a talented race car driver. Obviously, the world knows that. NASCAR Nation knows that. His fan base obviously knows that. But you just can't. He overdid it on this one. They panicked when Truex beat him off pit road, and then Truex took off from the last restart wreck. Truex took off, left him in the dust, and and they went in panic mode, and and the rest was history there. So this is partly why this 18 team is still searching for that first win, mainly because Adam Stevens and crew, they made the wrong call, and this wreck really should have not happened. This was avoidable, and Adam Stevens made the wrong call other season, and it is a bad call to begin with anyway, to make the call that, oh, let's go for the one with 55 laps to go, NBC. Let's go with, we're waiting for excitement to happen. Well, NBC, you got it, and a lot of wrecks happen, and I'm with Ryan Newman on this one as well a little bit, that, yeah, it was a little chaotic out there going for the Brickyard 400. I know that I thought that Daytona 500 was the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Seems like last weekend, this was the Super Bowl of all NASCAR. Everybody driving out of their heads and whatnot. People making bonehead decisions, whatnot. So you stay tuned for the podcast this weekend. I'll elaborate more on this, because team orders, that should be left at back of the shop. You're going in there six races for the win, and you're trying to either better your position for the playoffs or trying to get in for the playoffs. Now this is not time to be play nice, especially on race day. You're trying to beat your fellow competitor, and you're playing. I mean, I get it on straight plate tracks, maybe. I understand that, but on mile and a half, short tracks, even 2 mile tracks, playing nice should be out the door. You should try to put your team in position to get the best finish you can, or try to win the race. And 78-18 put themselves in bad position, and you see the results, plain and simple. Folks, that's going to do it for EG3 on top of the pit box. Three biggest decisive decisions of what took place at Indianapolis, and I will probably be doing this again next week. Stay tuned to your SoundCloud page for more obvious, and then also EG3 show on kcsportsradio.com. You want to give that a look, listen as well. JPEG Sports Network, jpegsports.com is the website. Go check it out, folks, along with our shows as well. But the EG3 show will be rolling along this week. Thank you for listening, and yeah, stay tuned for the podcast this week. It's gonna be a good one, folks. Eddie Greer saying, signing off for the EG3 show. And remember, the Cup Series is at Pocono this weekend. Ryan Blaney, the last time we were there, Ryan Blaney, Kevin Harvick, a great battle, which Ryan Blaney overtook the veteran and scored his first Cup win in his career in a thrilling finish. So look forward to another exciting race, and we'll see what happens this weekend. But follow storylines this week, especially with the 7, 8, 18, because it ain't pretty, and this fallout is ugly. But it's time to roll out. For me, Eddie Greer, signing out for the EG3 show. JPEGSports.com, KCSportsRadio.com, signing off.